This is Bhajan Rahasyam class, October 20th, 2010. This is the second introductory class to the Ashtayam Sarana Bhakti chapter, describing how a devotee at the level of prema, how he meditates on Krishna's pastimes while chanting the holy name, and how he enters into a deep understanding of the 8th verse of the Shikshastakam, Ashlisha Mam Paratam Panashtamam. And for us, of course, we're not on that level of perfection in bhajan, prem bhajan. It's called prem sambhog. Prem sambhog bhajan. It's a method, a way of worshipping the Lord, a way of remembering the Lord for the Jatarati Sadaka. So we're basically this introduction because we have to discuss Prem Bhajan at the level of Mahabhav, and which is a very exalted state of Radharani's love. And who are we and who is Radharani? There's a vast difference in space and elevation and dedication that we can never even bridge to enter the realm and threshold of Madanakya Mahabhav. As a mandri, a perfected mandri in our Siddhadeya in the spiritual world, we can experience something of Mahabhav, but not Divyonmad Mahabhav. That's Radharani's purview alone. Not Lalita Sakhi, Rupa Mandri, no one. And that's what this sadhana is all about. This last one we're discussing is about that. So yesterday we described the four requisites that are required. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's four requirements to study the Bhajan Rahasyam. And they were pretty, not so easy to even meet those requirements. The entrance examination, if we don't have these qualities, then we really, it will be difficult for us to very adequately practice Nam Bhajan according to the guidelines of Sri Bhajan Rahasyam. And he said that we need to practice Ashtamayam Sarana, then we need to have these four qualities, or let's say attributes. One is that we have to be committed, deeply committed to Raghunuga Bhajan. Second is we have to have no other ambition, no ambition for money, college, career, family. It's bhajan. It's nishtita and bhajan. I don't want anything else but to serve Radha and Krishna day and night as a sadhaka, as a siddha, somehow or other, remember them and serve them, and I have no other ambition in this world. And the third desire, or third quality, is to be free from the contamination of family life, which means even a grihastha can take up this path. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a grihastha. But in the time of his life, when he started this type of this book and this path of strictly nam bhajan mixed with smaran and remembrance and prayers of these various rasic verses that he includes here, there's about 25 times 8. There's 200 verses. Basically, this is one of the components of the bhajan path, the step-by-step bhajan path. One of the components is shlokas, rasika shlokas, that describe shraddha, sarusanga, bhajanakriya, anartanivirti, and nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prema, the 9 steps of devotion to perfection and prema. So there are 200 shlokas. This is part of the bhajan. These shlokas are very much part of the bhajan. And then the main part of the bhajan is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then, so we're going to hear that. So, if we're grihasthas and we're like Bhaktivinoda, he was retired from his family life. He had a very large family and a very illustrious life of so much accomplishment in the material world and so much writing and accomplishment in the spiritual circle of writing 100 books. And so now in the last 4 or 5 years of his life, he retired to his bhakti kuti in Puri as a vanaprast, and then he took bake these sannyas It's called the sannyas diksha, which is actually appears to be what was used now as they call it Babaji, because it's the Paramahamsa stage of sannyas. Sannyas has four stages: Kutichak, Bahodak, Paribrajak, and Paramahamsa. And Paramahamsa is the fourth level of sannyas, where the individual devotee he gives up all association with the society, even in the capacity of preaching and udara, or welfare work, preaching. And he adopts the white dress, Paramahamsa. So now, of course, it's called, they call it, it's generally called Babaji. Babaji is called bake dharana. To accept bake dharana means to accept the sannyas order. So he did that. He was a grihastha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then he took this sannyas vesh, which in his case, it was Paramahamsa level of sannyas. It was white cloth, but it's actually called sannyas diksha. And the mantra that sannyasis get and the mantra that these Paramahamsas get, which we nowadays call Babajis, is the same. Gopi Bhav mantra. Because they're all of them, sannyasis and what are now called Babajis, because even the terms are used. He took sannyas diksha. So we think when we read this in biographies of Vaishnavas, great saints of Raj, it'll say he took sannyas samskara, sannyas diksha, but he didn't have a tridanda, and he didn't travel, wear a saffron cloth and give classes and travel around. He became Bhajanandi. Three stages of sannyasis are Goshtyanandi, the Kutichak, and even he doesn't do so much preaching, he's purifying himself. Then the Kutichak, the Bahodak, and the Paribrajak, especially the Paribrajak, he's doing the preaching as a sannyasi with saffron cloth. Then the fourth level of sannyas is called Paramahamsa, Paramahamsa Vaishnava. And he is also sannyas, but he's wearing white cloth and he's called a Bhajananandi. You've heard these terms, Goshtyanandi and Bhajananandi. Bhajan is mostly internal solitude, internal worship, quiet worship, meditative, smaran especially, and he doesn't make any sound. The Goshtyanandi, Goshta means sound, vibration. You know, those two types of devotees you must have read in Prabhupada's books. There's the Goshtyanandi, you've seen? Goshtyanandi and Bhajananandi. So, this is his, he shows that, yes, you must be you must be free from family entanglements to practice my process of Bhajan Rahasyam, which means if you want to be like me, you have to be a Paramahamsa, or at least living as a Vanaprastha. In other words, no wife, no kids, no grandchildren. So it doesn't mean that you never got married, but it certainly means, and you can say free from family entanglements. You could even go so far that you can live with your wife and do this Bhajan, if you are really free from material entanglements. Yoshit Sangha. You're just living like in Brahmacharya, like Vanaprast. But the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his idea of free from family entanglements was to live alone in the Bhakti Kuti, and the family is in somewhere else in Orissa, no longer in Puri, and no communication, no cell phone conversations, and no meeting, and just sannyas, social suicide. So he combines six components in his book, and it's a brilliant presentation of bhajan, which is based on Lord Chaitanya's shiksha, bhajan shiksha, shikshastakam, chetodarpanamarjanam, and the Mahamantra, primarily. And then all of this shiksha of Lord Chaitanya, and all this chanting of Maha Mantra, and all of this initiation as a Gaudiya Vaishnava is meant to take us somewhere, Prema Pumartha Mahan. It's meant to take us to the land of Prem, Prem Dham Sri Vrindavan Ki Jai. And in that land we must have a Siddhadeha, and our spiritual body, Sarup. And in that Sarup then we'll enter the Leela, so we won't so much meditate on Ashtakali Leela. We'll be in the Leelas. Lila Pravesh. And so the book is bringing everyone to the point of realize prema. That's the goal, isn't it not? The goal of everything we're doing, hopefully, is prema. So he's teaching us sadhana. It's called prem bhajan. Prem bhajan, but it's nam, you could say prem nam bhajan. How about that? You've heard of Shuddha Nam. You've heard of Prem Nam. He's a Premika. There's chanting Nam at the level of Vaidhi Sadhana. There's chanting Nam at the level of Prakriti Vaishnava. The Vaishnava Praya is also chanting the name. It's called Bhukti Nam. He's chanting the holy name, the same Maha Mantra we all chant. But his or her basic idea is Bhukti, which means Bhog, enjoyment. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy and really happy. Good food, good clothes, all surround myself with sattvic pleasure, all kinds of nice sattvic bhog. Before I was having rajasic pleasure and bliss and tamagun and rajagun, but now I've understood, oh, I should be vegetarian and I should have a God-centered life and have a little temple and have a little artik every day, morning and noon, and give a little donation. So it becomes like sattvic. And it's bhog. It's just an old wine in a new bottle. And he feels very peaceful. He feels very peaceful. He feels very good about himself. And he feels, and if he's a little wealthy, he gives donations to sannyasis and gurus, and he feels a sense of worth. Yes, I'm very worthy. But the fact is that his basic modus operandi is sense gratification. I don't mean to speak too bluntly, but the truth must be understood, because the tendency for the living entity for self-delusion is rampant and very deep. That we can delude, self-delusion means we can delude ourselves into thinking that we're really doing well. I'm really a good guy. So the sannyasis and brahmacharis, they walk their talk and they say, listen, my dear friends, this is the way it is. I don't mean to shake you and rattle you too much, but your cushy life is Maya. Hey, come on. So these are the six components of Bhajan Rahasyam. So the first thing is the Ashtayamas, because he calls it Ashtayam Sadhana Bhajan. Every Gaudiya Vaishnava that has any footing in serious bhajan, in serious devotional practices with attachment, and some degree of attachment, he is doing Ashtayam Sadhana Bhajan in his own way. Ashtayam is a yama means Kaliya, Ashtakaliya. You probably heard of this AKL, Ashtakaliya Leela. Another way of saying the same thing is Ashtayam. Ashtayam, Ashtakaliya Leela Bhajan. So they're all, so listen what I'm saying. Every Gaudiya Vaishnava, which generally means the serious Gaudiya Vaishnavas are practicing Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, thousands of them, literally, some way or other. And they're following the path of Advaita or Nityananda or Gadadhar or Shamananda, Vrakreshwar Pandit, some different smaller paramparas, branches of Chaitanya's tree. We're following the Saraswat path, Chaitanya Saraswat approach to Ashtakali Leela. And there's a beautiful quote from 1934 or something by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And he says, don't think that this Ashtakali Leela is only for the Babajis. It's our treasure. Gaudiya Math, it's our treasure. Ashtakali Leela. The Eightfold Pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is the very strict, no nonsense, no fake charlatan devotees. The most strict Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. He's saying that this Ashtakaliya Leela is for us. He said, after someone has chanted for 20 years, Brahmachari or whoever, anyone, chanted Hare Krishna Maha Mantra under Guru, means Bhaktisiddhanta, for 20 years, then he's eligible to start meditating Ashtakaliya Leela. Okay, let's look at this quote. This is the quote. So, oh gee, I've only been 10 years in the movement, but half the people here have been 20 years already. And so that's the invisible, tangible time, right now time. But what about last life? Maybe you chanted 19 years last life, right? So then this life, you're only 1 year in the ISKCON, Russia, and then you say, hey, I'm into this. I like this Ashtakali Leela. I want to read about it. I want to follow it. Hey, what is this? You're a new devotee to that. New, what does new devotee mean? New, old, big, small? What is this? Oh, you're 20 years old. You're a new devotee. I'm 60. You're old devotee. Yeah, I'm old. Doesn't mean old. Okay, the body's old. I'm like, you're young and healthy and strong, and you got a long way to go, and all good luck for you and blessings. And I'm about finished. But old devotee means, you know, how many times you've been coming around life after life practicing devotion. That's the old devotee. He may be 6 years old, 60 years old, and he's just starting his first practice of bhakti because he got the ahoitaku kripa of a Vaishnava. Vaishnava created a sukriti for him and gave him Harinam. He's a gross animal before he met Guru. He didn't have any sukriti in his pocket. He's just a boozer and a jagai and a mudai. Many of you sitting here, this may be your fourth life or seventh life or tenth life. Doesn't mean you're 19, 20, 34. Doesn't mean anything. All this big this. You can see my last life. You know who I was in my last life? Do I know who you were? Do I know this gentleman, this brahmachari, who he was in last life? Oh, he's Russian. He's so-and-so's disciple. What is this? This is all stupidity. We believe in last life? Do we believe we had life? Yes? Everyone believes. Tehino shminyata dehi. But how come we don't apply that to everyday dealing with each other and our behavior? Isn't it? Our philosophy doesn't, our walk, our talk doesn't match our walk. Our philosophy doesn't match our practices or our behavior. I have a beautiful statement by Krishnas Kaviraj. Beautiful statement about the blend of philosophy and behavior. He said a Gaudiya Vaishnava wears his philosophy. Like we wear a shirt, right? A vest, whatever. Sorry. Philosophy, you know, it doesn't sit in your brain. It doesn't sit in your mouth with shlokas. Wearing it means we can see it. Whatever I'm wearing, you can see it. Oh, blue shirt, green shirt, whatever. So if we actually understand the philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, it's very, people can see it. By the way you speak, the way you behave with me, I'm whoever, who am I? And how are you behaving with me? And how do you see me? How do you look at me? And how do you treat me? And that's the look you get from some people. This is human nature. But we're not supposed to be humans. We're supposed to be in a Prakriti Bhav. Devotee Bhav is a Prakriti. Is bhakti transcendental? Have you ever heard this idea that bhakti is transcendental? Yes? So bhakti is transcendental. It's bhakti devi. It's Radharani. Bhakti is a amsha of Radharani. It's a shakti. Ladini shakti mixing with sanvik shakti is bhakti. Sanvik shakti is Radharani. Vidya and avidya shakti is Radharani. The 16 shaktis, she's the controller, the personification of sanvik shakti is Balaram. But where does he get a shakti from? Where does Krishna get a shakti from? Himself? Radharani. Where does Balaram get it? Where does Balaram get himself from? He gets himself from Krishna. And where does Krishna get his shakti from? From Radha. So where does Balaram get his shakti from? Radha. If you want any money, you have to go to the ATM. So she's the anytime shakti, ATS. So avidya shakti is hers, and vidya, avidya, akarshani, and samyogini, and vyogini, and gear, and pushti, and all these shaktis, 16 shaktis, are with Radharani. So this expansion of Radharani, Ladini Shakti, that's Radharani, you've heard? But bhakti is also Ladini. And bhakti is also samvit, knowledge and bliss, knowledge and love. This is bhakti. And that knowledge potency coming from Radharani. And that, so Bhakti Devi is a Devi, Bhakti Devi. Sadhana, even there's someone called Sadhana Devi, you maybe never heard about, but Sadhana is a female, Sadhana Devi. So she lives with it. So then if a person has bhakti, then he has a Prakriti Bhav. He's a transcendentalist. What does Arjuna say? Krishna, Arjuna says, "Oh Bhagavan, hey Bhagavan, hey Priyasaka, hey my friend." How does a transcendentalist sit? How does he speak? How does he act? What does that mean, a transcendentalist? It means someone who's wearing his bhakti, wearing his philosophy, which means he's showing his bhakti. He's showing, he thinks like a transcendent, he thinks like bhakti, he thinks like a person, like a devotee. And some people, haven't you ever heard the phrase, he doesn't act like a devotee? Have you ever heard this phrase? So we expect that a devotee acts in a certain special kind of way, isn't it? Because devotee means bhakti, and Devi lives with him. And Amsha, Radharani's entered into him, Radharani Pravesh. Amsha means a part, an expansion. Everyone says, Radharani, Radharani Shakti. Okay, you learn that day one. Who's bhakti? Oh, bhakti. Bhakti, bhakti is devotion. No, bhakti is a shakti. Bhakti Devi. And what's shakti? It's the power of love. Bhakti becomes bhava, bhava becomes prem. Prem is love. The six components of bhakti. So we have the ashtayama. The whole thing is called ashtayama sadhana bhakti. So the eight yamas, everyone is involved or approaching or touching or absorbed in or entered into the Astakali Leela of Krishna. We read about it. It's in the Krishna book. Astakali Leela is in the Krishna book. In the morning, Krishna goes out with a coward voice. That's Astakali Leela. In the afternoon, he comes back. That's Astakali Leela. And he has the Maharaj dance with the gopis. That's Astakali Leela. Oh, really? I didn't know. I thought it was Krishna book. No, it's Krishna's Leela. And it's Nitya. And it goes on day after day. He has rasa dance more than once and every night. And he goes out with the cows every night and every day and comes back, and that's in there. Isn't it? So this book, it prepares us, it gives us some contact with Astakali Leela, because every yama, every shraddha bhajan, bhajan at the level of shraddha enters into Leela. Bhajan at the level of anartha nivritti enters into Leela. Bhajan at the level of sarasanga enters into Leela. Bhajan at the level of prem serves in the Leela. At the level of prem, you enter the Leela and you serve there in your siddhadeha. At the level of bhav, you enter the Leela and you serve. You don't meditate on it, you enter into it. You see, so that's Astayam. That's one of the six components of practicing Bhajana Rahasya. And the other one is the Shikshastakam prayers. Very amazing. Chaitodarvanamarjanam. Chaitodarvanamarjanam is Shraddha. Of course, there's some explanations of all this. So there's Astayama, the eight time periods of Radha Krishna's eternal pastimes. This is, I think I, yes, I wrote a little bit about that. So I will just review these Astakali Leelas, because even just to mention the name of these pastimes, and you're all, many of you, of course, are quite deeply involved with these subjects, and so this will be quite a review. And anything good bears repetition. So these are part of the six components. The first one, Ashtayama Leela. So we'll just review what they are and how they relate to bhajan, at what level. First one is called Nishant Leela. Ant means end, and Nisha means night. The end of night. This is the first period of the day. There's eight periods. 3:36 a.m. to 6 a.m. These are the pastimes that take place at the end of night. And this is called the first step in the process of bhajan. It's called Nishant Bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it's also called Pratam Yam Sadhana. Pratam means, I believe, the first time period, Pratam. We say Nishant or Pratam. So this is Pratam Yam Sadhana. This is the sadhana that one does in this time of the day, first of all, 3:36 to 6. And it represents Shraddha, which is the first step in the step-by-step path of bhajan outlined in Bhajan Rahasyam. The first step is faith. Faith in the bhajan process. Faith in Raghunuga Bhakti, faith in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, faith in Guru, Vaishnavas, etc. Ado Shraddha Tata Sarasanga. The second level is Prataksnan, Prataksnan. 6 a.m. to 8:24. And this is called the Pratak Kaliya Bhajan, or Dvitiya. Dvitiya means two. Prata means one or first. Dvitiya means two. Pratam Yam Sarana. Now this, at this time of the day, from 6 a.m. to 8:24 a.m., Pratak Lila, Krishna's waking up in Nidiban or some other kunja, kunjavan, and he's with Radharani, lying with Radharani. Then he leaves and very quickly goes to Nandagram, and she returns to Yavat or Barsana. And then he wakes up in Nandagram, and they dress him and bathe him, and he takes his breakfast, and he wrestles and plays with the boys and goes to the barn and milks the cows. And then by 8:30 or so, he's leaving for the cow-tending pastimes, going to the pastures. So this particular second level of bhajan, this deals with three steps on this, what Bhaktivinoda Thakura calls the progressive path. The progressive path of bhajan. So the three steps that this time period deals with, and this chapter deals with, is Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti. And you see that these are also the nine stages of devotion, which is one of the components of bhajan path, step-by-step path, taught by Bhaktivinoda Thakura. So what happens here is that the devotee, one associates with devotees, Sadhu Sangha, he practices the limbs of devotion, bhajana kriya, and this results in the elimination of anarthas, anartha nivritti. There's a lot of different titles. Bhaktivinoda Thakura calls this anartha nivritti and sadhu sangha. So that sounds about where we are. This is chapter 2, which he calls dvitiya yam sarana. We call it chapter 2. It's the second time period of the day. It involves living with sadhus, associating with sadhus, especially guru, shikshindiksha guru, practicing bhajan and becoming free from anarthas. Sound familiar? Anartha nivritti. So we will very much concentrate on that chapter and meditate on that particular lila, all these details we've described over the years, and we'll review also later. Third period is Purvan Lila, 8:24 a.m. to 10:48. Purvan Kaliya Bhajan. It's also called this Purva Nishta. This is the level of Nishta, Nishta Bhajan. This is the fourth step of progressive bhajan, associated with firm commitment to the devotional path, Nishta. First step is Shraddha, the second step is Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti. Then, I guess this is the fifth one actually. Nishta, this is Nishta. Then the fourth level of bhajan in Bhajan Rahasya is called Madhyan, Madhyan Kaliya Bhajan, or Madhyana, Madhyana Lila. This is 10:48 in the morning till 3:36. This is a big period, 6 hours a day. 6 hours in the morning, 6 hours in the evening. And Krishna is, of course, with Radharani. In the afternoon, midday, Madhyan Lila, Krishna is at Radhakund, 10:48 to 3:36. And in the evening time, he's with Radharani and Vamshivat, Ras Lila, or in Govardhan. So this particular chapter 4, this is a summary, an outline of this book, Bhajan Rahasyam. It deals with Ruchi Bhajan, how to develop taste. Ruchi, Chaturtha Yam Sadhana. This represents the progressive step of Ruchi. Spontaneous attraction for practicing devotion. Now, usually the level of Anartha Nivritti and even Nishta, we're steady, but we have to force ourselves to be steady. We have to put a lot of energy into being steady, like a military person. We have a schedule, and we strictly, okay, get up at 3 o'clock and chant rounds and go to Mangalarti. Do you really want to do it? Do you really have a taste for it?
No.
But it's the temple program, or it's my guru asked me, or I'm supposed to, or I think I should, I'm trying to want to, and and there's no other way, and they say this is the only way to get purified, and it seems to work, and I like it. I mean, I'm trying, and you know, it's nice, but if you had your, and then you say, but if you had your choice, would you rather sleep till 9 o'clock? Yeah, actually. I don't mind working hard after that, but I feel tired, you know. You get up so early, you know. I feel like a little sleepy. So, ruchi is not something cheap, you know. It's not like ruchi for halava. I really have ruchi for halava. And rasgullas and rubri. That's a taste or attraction, but it's not ruchi and bhajan. If you want to know if you have ruchi and bhajan, what does it mean if you have ruchi and bhajan? It means you never in your life press the snooze alarm on your clock. You know what snooze alarm is? You understand? In Russia and like that? You have a clock and it goes beep, beep, beep. I like this one. It says snooze and light. You turn it like that, you see a little light, and then you, oh, I set this for 3 o'clock in the morning. But you know, it's only 2:50, and why is this thing? It went off early for some reason. Or it goes off at 3, okay? It's set for 3, it goes off at 3. Oh, you know, I was up late, you know, a little tired, this, that, you know, boink. So that's just 10 minutes. Okay, bye. Then, already 10 minutes, so fast. Oh, just 10 more. Don't take 10 more. Because it's 3 o'clock, and you know, the Mangalarks needs 4:30. I have a lot of time, you know. Then 3:10, and 3:20, 3:30. A great Siddha Mahatma, he said, he was dying. He was a great bhakta. And all his disciples are gathered and said, oh, Guruji, you know, listen, you have been very quiet about your inner secrets, your rahasyam of bhajan. Can you tell us your formula? Because you're going now, and somebody we should know, you can tell one of us or all of us. Everybody come, I'll tell all of you. I'll tell you everyone the secrets. And everyone gathered with notebooks and pens in hand and palm tops and everything and iPods already. Now, when the Guru spoke, it sounds very easy. The Guru said, my path to perfection is very easy. I eat when I'm hungry. I eat prasad. I take prasad, honor, whatever you want to say. He actually said eat. I eat when I'm hungry. I sleep when I'm tired. And I get up when I'm rested. It's easy, right? So then the Guru, after a few days, he left. And he went to Nitya Lila. The disciples sat down, Hanishta Gosi, let's discuss Guruji's last teachings. It's very easy. What he said, yeah, it's very easy. Now, I think in a couple of years or a few months, we can all attain perfection. He's so kind and merciful. Let's look at the first one. He said, eat when you're hungry. So what do we do? Ashram breakfast is at 9 o'clock. And we all sit down and eat at 9 o'clock because that's breakfast time. And then the ashram lunch is at 2 o'clock or 3, and we all sit down and eat at 3. But you know, a lot of times I'm not hungry because I eat so much for breakfast. But you know, it's there, so I eat it. So that doesn't mean eating when you're hungry. And then at 9 o'clock at night we have dinner. And oftentimes, summertime, I'm like full from lunch. I didn't do anything. But you know, I figure maybe I'll feel hungry late, so I should just stuff little something, and they have a little todasab, a little something inside, and then. But I'm really not hungry, but I'm not going to tell anybody. That particular day I really should have eaten once, because I was only really really hungry once. But you know, habit is second nature, and I eat three times a day or twice a day, and so I did it. So I can't follow Guruji's instruction because this is my regulation. In other words, the Guruji was not following the path of regulation. He was following the path of Bhav. He's a Premi Bhakta. He said, I'm not hungry. Why should I take honor prasadam? And then everyone started to talk. Actually, hey, you know, sometimes Guruji wouldn't eat for 3 days. Hey, that's right. So now the yamas we're just reviewing here. So this is ruchi, which means spontaneous attraction for practices of devotion. The fifth level of bhajan is apran lila, 3:36 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's right now. It's called Apran Kaliya Bhajan or Panchmayam Sadhana because it's number five. It's the fifth period of the day, and this is the fifth type of bhajan. This is the sixth step in progressive bhajan. Because it could be listed as seventh, but there's like two parts of prema. The sixth step of progressive bhajan is called asakti, which means attachment to devotional practices. One is to have attraction, and one is to have attachment. Because the level of ruchi, one, he's really attracted. He automatically gets up, and if he just wakes up any time, oh, I was supposed to get up at 3, but it's 2, and I just woke up. I don't know why. I feel pretty good. I just chant. You know, I like to chant. I chant, I read. There's some ruchi there. He doesn't crawl back into the stool like the proverbial worm probably would say that. The worm is in the stool, and then he's on some stool, and then you take him out of the stool on the ground, he crawls back to the stool. So we're like a worm in the stool. We're sleeping in the stool. We're sleeping. It's like being in the stool, forgetfulness and deathly condition, unconscious, swapna, not Krishna conscious. And then someone, you know, wakes us up and says, come out of that way of life. Stop sleeping. No, let me go back to my sleeping. Let me crawl back to my sleeping. It's so nice. But then at the level of asakti, one is attached to devotional practices. And of course, there's more of the definition. It means you're actually attached to Krishna as the object of your devotion. At the level of ruchi, you're attached to the practices. I like to chant. I like to get up early. I like to do puja. I like to do archan. I like to go to the program, morning program, or serve guru. You're attracted, spontaneously attracted. You have ruchi, you have taste, you like it. You really like it more than sleeping, and you like it more than eating and all these other things. But as a sakti, your ruchi is there, you're very attracted, and you actually have attachment to the object of your devotion. The object of your practices is the person, Krishna. Become attached to the Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela of Krishna. You can't live without meditating on Krishna's form and seeing Him and thinking of His qualities and pastimes. Because the Sakti is right before Bhav and then Prem. Very high thing. High level of devotional attainment. And then the seventh Asiyam is Shayan Leela, Shayan Kaliya Bhajan. 6 p.m. to 8:36, called Shashta Yam. Shashta means six. That's the sixth period of the day and the sixth type of sadhana, which represents the seventh step in progressive bhajan, which is the ecstatic stage of bhav. This is bhav bhajan. The first manifestation of love of God appears. Radha Govinda appears. The seventh is called Pradosh Leela, 8:36 in the evening till 10:48. Pradosh Kaliya Bhajan, Saptama Yam Bhajan, which is seventh period and the seventh type of bhajan. This is called Prema, where one is dedicated, and this is called Viraha Prem. Prem Bhajan at the level of Viparlamba. Viparlamba Prem Seva. So one is at the level of Prem, but he's feeling intense separation from Radha and Krishna. So that's very high. And then in other words, one is dedicated to love and separation. And the eighth period is called Nisha Leela, Ratri Leela, nighttime, 10:48 p.m. to 3:36 a.m. Ashtama Yam Sadhana. This is the eighth step of the practice, a progressive path of Prem Bhajan. Bhajan Rahasyam teaches the progressive path of Prem Bhajan based on Nam. The foundation is Nam, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he's a mixture of these other components. Astakaliya Leela or Ashtayam Sadhana. Shikshastakam, the Shikshastakam, the Maha Mantra. And then the eight pairs of the Maha Mantra, the nine limbs of devotion. That's four. And five is the Praman, Shastra Praman, the references, the 200 verses which are referred to in each of these sadhanas, and how they blend with the Shikshastakam, and how they blend with the holy name, and how they blend with the Leela. That's the fifth. And then the sixth one is presenting this bhajan for two types of bhajaniya, bhajanandis, the external and internal bhajan. The external bhajan is for the ajata rati sadhaka. That means a devotee like us who is practicing devotion who doesn't have bhav. Ajata, not born. And then jatarati means he has rati. Rati actually means bhav here. So this one path of bhajan, hasta yam sadhana, is actually can be applied. This one step-by-step process of bhajan or path of bhajan can be applied to two types of devotees: the bhava prema bhakta, or the bhakta like most, I suppose, all of us, who's not on the level of bhava and prema. And we'll continue tomorrow with these more elaboration on the six components. It seems that maybe there's two more days of introduction or so. And then we'll start finishing the discussion on Ashtayama Sadhana. But Sri Vajra Rahasyam Ki Jai.